The gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, and then skipping along to verse 21 and 22. And if you would like, you may follow along in your pew Bible on page 56 of the New Testament. Hear now these words. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you recognize that guy? He's been gone for a while. William, we're glad to have you back. We're glad that you and Anna are back in ministry settings in Colorado. Welcome home. Today, obviously, is January 7th, 2007. Are you used to writing that yet? And because today is the first Sunday of a new month and the first Sunday of a new year, we have two special occasions to celebrate today. One is clearly to be expected because we have a tradition in this congregation, and that, as you see on the altar, is Holy Communion. But the second celebration is our congregational reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant. That's why the font is here, and that's why the water is on the altar. So let me explain why we're doing this. Just like with last week's strange juxtaposition of events, I was again struck by some of the irony of today's scripture passage. Now, as you will remember if you were here and if you were awake last week, the lectionary for December 31st offered us a choice of what event would be commemorated. We chose to read about the Epiphany of our Lord, which, by the way, took place yesterday, the time when the wise men, these Gentile astrologers, showed up to offer their gifts to the newborn baby Jesus. You remember, King Herod plotted to kill the new king, but the Magi never returned to Jerusalem to tell Herod where Jesus was. And also last week, I talked a little bit about it, but we didn't read the other lectionary possibility. That was that on the first Sunday after Christmas, many Christians were reading about the 12-year-old Jesus teaching and listening to the rabbis in the temple in Jerusalem. The irony today is that Jesus is now an adult, 2 weeks after his birth, and the Bible has very clearly and very dramatically moved on with the story. Well, it is very important that Jesus has now grown up, and it is very important that Jesus chose for the beginning of his adult ministry that he was at that time to be baptized by John the Baptist. In a similar way, many of us who are sitting here in this church in 2007 this morning may be looking back over our recent lives, and we might realize that, yes, in fact, life has moved on. Now, I don't mean that life is over. I'm not trying to be that dramatic, but I am recognizing that sometimes we pull up short and we notice that things have moved on. We have grown older and hopefully a bit wiser, and life goes on. As I look out at you wonderful people of Burns Memorial United Methodist Church, I wonder how many of you have a strong memory and a firm understanding of what it means to be a United Methodist. Melba talked about United Methodism 101. Several people have asked me to hold a class for new members of the church, and I'm working on putting together such a class. But I've also realized that the pulpit is a wonderful place to talk about those things that make us Christians and those characteristics that make us United Methodists as well. And a brand new year is a wonderful reason, a wonderful excuse to begin this process of rebirth and renewal. And so, several times during this early part of 2007, I will try to highlight some of the elements of our theology and of our denomination that make us who we are. Today, Jesus was baptized. 4 weeks ago, we together celebrated the baptism of Shayla Frank. How many of you remember your baptism? Okay. And I wonder, perhaps, how many of you have not yet been baptized? Many of us were baptized as tiny little babies. That's my guess why there was some chuckles and some hands that were down. So we probably don't really have real memories of that event. Maybe we saw photographs if there were cameras when that happened for you. I'm kidding. Or maybe you heard stories, and I hope you heard stories, because I know in our family we often tell stories about Zach's baptism. But you know, one of the reasons some people raise their hands is that some Christian denominations accept only believer's baptism. That's the idea that a person must be the age of consent and must make a decision, a conscious adult decision, to become a Christian. But that's not at all what we believe. That's not the extent of what we believe as United Methodists. We believe in what John Wesley called God's prevenient grace. Prevenient grace. God has loved you from the beginning of time. God loved you even before you were conceived in your mother's womb. And God has made this holy grace available to you from the moment you were born. God offers this prevenient grace to every human being ever born on the face of this earth. Even if your parents have never heard of Jesus Christ, even if they have no concept of what God is, God loves each and every baby and provides this wonderful prevenient grace. God's love and protection from the word go, literally. Now, think about baptism, when we did it here or when it was done in your life or in your family. Who is it that performs a baptism? Who is the primary actor in that ceremony? Well, you might think that it's the pastor, but if you say that, you'd be wrong. God is the primary actor in baptism. God gave His love before any human being could do anything. God initiated this amazing relationship between God and all of humankind, and God has chosen that little baby, even before the parents get around to walking into the church, to have that child baptized. Baptism itself is simply a way of commemorating God's action and reminding the parents of God's love for their child and reminding the congregation of their responsibility to help this child grow and develop in God's love and grace. At baptism, God is saying, "You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." God has initiated this love and protection, and we are simply celebrating God's grace. And so we, United Methodists, believe in infant baptism. When the child has grown up, we baptize a baby, and when that child is old enough to learn about their faith and make her or his own decision about joining the church as a full member, we offer a confirmation class. It's called confirmation because this young person is now given the opportunity to confirm their faith, to confirm that God has called them to a new life, a life of following Jesus Christ. Because baptism is a gift from God that carries a promise and a call to new life, baptism is called a sacrament. Jesus himself told us that we are to continue this practice of baptism, and that's what sets it apart as a sacrament in our church. So, do you have any idea then why we are also celebrating Holy Communion today? Well, Holy Communion is also called the Eucharist and the Lord's Supper. All these terms are interchangeable. And just exactly like baptism, Holy Communion is a gift from God that carries a promise and a call to new life. God promised that in sending Jesus Christ to this earth to die for the sins of all humankind, we are now called to live a new life that is free from the internal threat of sin and death and damnation. God initiated this holy act of communion at the Last Supper, and Jesus himself told us that we are to continue this practice through thousands of years. And so, just exactly like baptism, Holy Communion is a sacrament. Now, there is some disagreement among denominations about how many sacraments there truly are, about how many of these practices Jesus told us in the Bible that we are to continue. If you have any connection to the Roman Catholic Church, you'll recognize that they believe in seven sacraments: baptism, confirmation, communion, confession, marriage, ordination, and anointing of the sick. But we of the United Methodist Church recognize only two sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion. And so, having considered all this, we find ourselves here together on the very first Sunday of a brand new year. And I believe that this is a perfect time to immerse ourselves in these two sacraments, to remember these wonderful things that God has offered to each of us, these amazing gifts that carry a promise and a call to new life. Let us allow ourselves a short moment of silence. You are my child, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. My brothers and sisters, God is saying that loud and clear to every one of us here today. Let us celebrate these gifts together as children of God. Amen.